Welcome to another episode of Our Interesting Times. It is my pleasure to have Donald Jeffries back on the show. Of course, Donald is an independent researcher and author of many books, including the recently published Bullyocracy, How the Social Hierarchy Enables Bullies to Rule Schools, Workplaces, and Society at Large. Donald is also the host of iProtest, a weekly program on the Truth Frequency Network, and also he runs the blog Keeping It Unreal. So, Donald, how are you doing?
All right, how you doing? Good to be back with you.
Well, thanks for coming back on the show. Now, of course, last time we talked, a lot has transpired. It seems like many years ago that we talked, although it was only in early March.
I mean, I think they're even calling it how are we going to adjust to the post coronavirus world? So I guess that was the I was taken to calling the America that was collapsing. You know, especially it had been deteriorating.
Yeah.
Since 9/11, especially as America 2.0. I guess this is going to be America 3.0. I'm not sure what we're going to be living in now at this point.
I guess we can call it what, before Corona's BC and
yes.
AC, I guess. I don't know.
Well, so much is, I mean, it's amazing how, I think that's what, you know, that I've written about and talked about so much is how quickly this happened. And people like me, for a long time, I've been saying that I've been predicting some kind of an economic collapse. Because I didn't think this economy could sustain itself when you have half of the country having with nothing, and you know the ridiculous amount of debt we have, which is really built on nothing, but it's there, and you kind of expected maybe a collapse. I didn't expect it to happen because of some alleged pandemic, and what amazes me is how fast. And I didn't think it would be global. The fact that you know, I think you said we talked early in March, and probably shortly after we talked is when this really took off. And I would say basically the entire world for all intents and purposes was shut down within maybe 2 weeks at the most.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just to sit and ponder that. And as I've said, you know, this happened and it was done without a single police being needed, without a single troop being needed, and without a shot being fired. I mean, you have, you know, people volunteering to stay within their homes. I mean, you know, quarantine is for sick people. We're not quarantining sick people. You understand that? We're telling healthy people to stay inside. That's not quarantining. That's tyranny.
Yeah, and a good point. It is largely psychological because it simply wouldn't be enforceable outside a major police, a state-type action or military action. So they've got the people to quarantine themselves and imprison themselves. Which is much of what the New World Order has done to us, the modern world with sort of a psychological warfare tactic weapon. Now, a lot of this is because they created the narrative of a pandemic, a very deadly virus, which hasn't really come to fruition, thankfully. I was immediately skeptical from the get-go because I've been aware of the problems with the CDC, the World Health Organization, and their other false pandemics in the past almost 18 years. So immediately when it came up, I said, here we go again. But they really ramped it up, I think, with the what they did was they created this narrative, and that created the justification for the lockdown and the closing of the virtual closing of the economy. And this coincided, of course, with a stock market crash. And, of course, they're blaming that on the coronavirus, COVID-19. And as you kind of alluded to, is the economy was set for some sort of adjustment or because it was highly overvalued with quantitative easing, what they've been goosing the stock market for more than 10 years now. And so some correction was in order. But there's been some talk. How do you manage a collapse? And this is some people call this sort of a controlled demolition of the U.S. economy. Now, why?
Yeah.
That's the big question. Is why? The big thing is that there simply isn't evidence for a pandemic. They declared it. So why would they do this? Why would politicians, who usually get reelected on keeping the economy going and keeping the masses happy, fat, happy, and fed?
Yeah.
Do this, so that's where you get in the area where things get really interesting. Just I was just looking at the numbers today. Reported cases in the United States 764,000, just over 40,000 deaths supposedly. Because we know that those numbers are greatly exaggerated or padded by fraud. And we can get into that. Virginia, our state, where we're told it's an emergency, we have 277 deaths this year, supposedly from COVID-19.
Right.
Now, every year for the past 5 years or so, anywhere between 1,000 and 1,200 Virginians have died of the flu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this really, and of course, we've, in Italy, it was reported this year, where supposed this was the epicenter, at least, of the coronavirus, where it supposedly hit the worst, had the greatest death rate. You had 164 reported deaths overall between the months of January, February, and March. Now, last year, the country reported 183 deaths over that same time, over that same 3 month time period. So less people have died overall this year than last year in Italy. And they, of course, I think you're probably aware of this, that only 12% of COVID deaths, in quotations, list COVID-19 as the cause. 88% of alleged COVID-19 deaths could be and probably have been misattributed. Again, to put some of these numbers in perspective, the flu resulted in 9.3 million to 49 million illnesses each year in the United States since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Each year, on average, 5 to 20% of the United States population gets the flu. It is estimated that the flu results in 31.4 million outpatient visits and more than 200,000 hospitalizations each year during the severe 2017-2018 flu season. It is estimated that more than 900,000 people were hospitalized and more than 80,000 people died from the flu. This is according to Pharmacy and Therapeutics. Influenza is a highly contagious respiratory illness that is responsible for significant morbidity and mortality. Approximately 9% of the world's population is affected annually, with up to 1 billion infections, 3 to 5 million severe cases, and 300,000 to 500,000 deaths each year. So put that in perspective of, you know, coronavirus cases globally right now are reported at 166,000.
Right.
And there's also been a marked reduction in pneumonia deaths. So they seem to be barring.
I think that's the biggest coincidence that we talked about, is that how both pneumonia and deaths from the flu in this country especially are markedly down. And, of course, the natural speculation is that you're right, they're making up the difference in these alleged COVID deaths. And there's been so much fraud here that it's beyond belief. And I've been, you know, people can go to my Facebook page especially, and I've just been people send me stuff all the time. They're emailing me and messaging me, especially since this came on, because I've really put myself out there on this. And I've had, you know, Lou Rockwell's published, I think, 3 of my articles on it, and that have gotten shared all over the internet. And one of them was called The Medically Induced Police State, which I think that's what we're, you know, living under now. And we created, as Ron Paul has said, you know, once you give government these kinds of powers, they're never going to give it back. I mean, that's just an obvious truism, that you can't give a government that's already out of control this kind of power. And I personally believe that they were high-fiving each other and laughing their asses off over how quickly Americans and, you know, the rest of the world complied with this. I mean, they no matter what they said, I mean, it's surrealistic now to go outside, and you live in Virginia too, and seeing all the people in their masks, people driving by themselves in cars wearing a mask.
Yeah, I've seen
that. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I mean, this is, you know, and there's not only are we wrecking the economy, because we're creating a situation that there is no exit strategy from. They don't have an exit strategy. And the problem is, as always, this has become a politicized thing. And I believe you can, as at everything else, you know, it's the awake people versus, now, of course, you and I are among those. We like to think we're awake. Maybe we're not. Maybe we're actually in a nightmare. We can't wake up.
At least we're groggy.
Yeah, exactly. We're groggy. But, you know, we like to believe we're awake. And I think you can, you know, correlate it. Basically, if you're walking around, you can see pretty much the people that are wearing the mask, those are the ones that are asleep. And they're, you know, they outnumber us. And this really proves how much they outnumber us by. And this is the problem. It's politicized. And, of course, the Trump, as always, is in the center of this. And he's involved in this in a very strange and really inconsistent way. And again, as usual, he's just kind of standing there being what he is, which I think is an actor. But the people that believe in this narrative, that you can't, no matter what, you can show them the CBS tape of the, you know, the fake footage that they took from Italy and claimed it was a New York hospital. And I think they did it twice, even though they admitted it. You can take the picture of the fake, the coffins coming out of Italy with the caption, still think it's just the flu. And we know from, thanks to India Today, not any American journalists, because Americans don't do investigative journal, or journalists don't do any kind of investigative work, or they're out of work. This was from India Today that proved, no, this picture's 10 years old, that had absolutely nothing to do with Italy. Over and over again, we see these things. And it doesn't matter. You show them. I've posted the World Health Organization directive, which has been out for probably a month. I posted it as soon as somebody sent it to me, where it very clearly says it instructs hospitals to list COVID-19 as the cause of death, even if, and I quote, tests are not available or inconclusive. So in other words, they're listing deaths as COVID, and they have been doing it for at least a month when they weren't tested for it. The CDC has said the same thing. When I had John Rappaport on my show, he was criticized by a lot of people because at that time, and I had him on back on probably early March, it was, you know, right when this thing was first starting. And he said at that time, they're using presumptive cases, what they call presumptive cases. Now, and sure enough, we can find if you look at the, I posted it last week, the CDC sends out press releases on a regular basis where they have the numbers, the list of numbers, and they have a disclaimer there listed on these press releases that say, note, presumptive cases are listed in the totals. So they're telling you what they're doing. And we see over and over again, I've found at least three cases that I know of, and who knows how many are there were, where loved ones were reported to have died from COVID and angry family members tweeted out, no, they didn't. This is a lie. Why are they saying this? John Prine, one of my favorite singers, who, you know, tragically died last week. They listed the cause of death as COVID. I did a little sleuthing, and it wasn't hard to find that. Sure enough, his only connection to COVID is that a headline said that he was rushed to the hospital with COVID-like symptoms. He was never tested, and he had suffered from cancer and heart, yeah, all kinds of illnesses. He'd been sick for a long time, but it goes down in the books and to the masses that are asleep. See, he died of COVID, too.
Yeah, did Brian Dennehy die of COVID, too, because he happened to die, pass away?
You almost think every time somebody yeah. dies, you assume it has to be that, right?
But I saw one headline that said, sisters 102 years apart die from great pandemic. And I didn't, you know, obviously, they're referring to the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918 and the COVID-19 so-called pandemic. So we had a very young person die in 1918 of the flu. Spanish influenza, then you have a centenarian, a 100-year-old woman dying of something, blaming it on COVID-19. Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And yeah. But I think that, you know, we have so much evidence that the numbers are fraudulent. They don't mean anything and of course, Dr. Birx of the White House has come out and said, a story I think published in the New York Post, that, I mean, a direct quote that, yeah, some of the other countries aren't doing that, but we're listing if they can claim you tested positive for it, but who knows if you really do, they're listing that as a cause of death, even if it had nothing to do with your death. You know, you could come in a car accident theoretically, and they quickly test you for it and claim you. And that's
yes.
if you believe them anyhow. I personally, and this is what John Rappaport was talking about, and Dr. Hotze has been talking about. Stephen Hotze has been on my show a couple of times, and that is, I don't believe it. I'm not a scientist. I don't know this, but I think it's very interesting that, especially when all these celebrities, and they're a predictable group of celebrities, mm-hmm. you know, they're all the celebrities you might expect. I don't think you're going to see Mel Gibson or James Woods come down with this, put it that way. Okay, I don't see that happening. But you know, the predictable celebrities are getting it over and over again, yeah. And they you know, it's very dubious. I mean, starting with Tom Hanks, and you know, the fact that they always report them as having tested positive for the coronavirus. They don't say tested positive for COVID-19. I don't believe, and people like John Rappaport don't believe, there is a test that can specify that it was that particular strain.
Yeah, he's talked about the deficiencies of the test, in particular the PCR test that's used.
Yeah.
Which I think the maker of it says you're not supposed, the maker of the test that they're using, says not to use for diagnostic purposes, yet they're doing that.
Yeah, well, and I think what they're doing is it, because, and who knows, you and I, anybody, I mean, I to my knowledge, I've never had the flu in my life. I just haven't. And, but I or anybody, I think, because a lot of people say coronavirus is just another word for the common cold, that mm-hmm. Lots of people might test positive for it. More and more people are getting tested for it. That's if they really are tested. But you have people like, you know, J.K. Rowling, the Harry Potter author, who, I mean, she acted like she survived stage 4 breast cancer, and she was saying, I had all the COVID symptoms. She was never tested. I have people, some of my friends on Facebook, that tell me, I just recovered from it, but I couldn't get a test. And I challenged them. I said, wait a minute. You recovered from something you weren't tested for. How do you know you had it? Well, I'm not going to – you're not going to believe me. Well, I mean, that makes no sense. But this is – we're living in a state of hysteria. And again, Trump and the cultural divide is right in the middle of it, because the people that are falling for it, by and large, are the side that hates Trump. And it's ironic that Trump is overseeing this. You can clearly – he certainly didn't seem on board with it and still seems to kind of doubt it. But as always, he acts like he's sitting in a trailer park somewhere and he's not president of the United States. He acts like he has no power.
Mm-hmm.
But so clearly he is not – this is not his idea. But it's being done under his name, and nobody – and he's made ridiculous pronouncements saying we need to do this, we need vaccines and all that stuff. But the people that hate him, they're blaming him for it somehow, that he didn't act quickly enough, when we know in 2009 Barack Obama didn't declare a national emergency until 4,000 people had died in this country of swine flu. And then he did nothing else. There was nothing was closed or canceled. And Trump declared a national emergency when 400 Americans had died, and he didn't act quickly enough. So, and this is unprecedented stuff. And the people, because I find myself constantly being called, and if you know me, I've been very critical of Trump, but I hate his enemies probably, even more.
Yeah.
So that's the problem, is he still has the best enemies, no question about it. It's the only thing he's got going for him at this point. But so they immediately throw you in that category. Oh, you Trumpsters, Trump. So they politicize this. Now, all the protests that are going around in all the states, I see online my liberal, so-called liberal friends. Look at all those white guys, the neo-Confederates, stuff that has nothing to do with what they're there for.
Yeah, the governor of
Michigan
says there are Confederate flags there. And then the Congresswoman Dingell, I guess she's the daughter or daughter-in-law of John Dingell, the long-serving congressman, says that I saw her, and she was interviewed, and she just sounded half crazy. She was saying it was awful. They were there handing candy out to kids without gloves on, and they were flying swastikas and Confederate flags.
There were no. I would love to see a swastika. That's just ridiculous. They just, if there was, it was probably a government agent that was all these groups.
Well, why would some opposing the lockdown, I'm gonna go fly my swastika.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make much sense, does it?
But I love this. They weren't wearing gloves. Like sounds like they're not.
Oh, they went crazy over Alex Jones, shaking hands with the people, and he went to – I saw – again, the hatred for these people. I mean, Alex Jones was once very popular in the across the conspiracy world, but they hate him now, and it's all because of Trump. And I had an exclusive interview with Roger Stone last Friday before he was – or he'd just been ordered to report to prison in 2 weeks. So, I mean, I think that's one of the most unjust prosecutions in the history of our injustice system. It's ridiculous that somebody like that is going to jail on trumped up charges with a leader of the jury that was openly tweeting about him and stuff on things that would get a mistrial declared if it was a serial killer trial.
How about the midnight raid on his house or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that all these things, and it's just incredible. But you should see the hostility when I posted about it. Again, it's all the left. I had some guy today tell me that Roger Stone deserves death more than anybody. I said, so you really think that Roger Stone should get the death penalty for that for process crimes that he didn't even commit? And somebody else before told me he should be hanged, he should be shot. Another one said he should be shot. I mean, but that's all because of Trump. if Roger Stone wasn't associated with Trump, the Trump derangement syndrome is now on steroids, and the virus is like exacerbated, almost like a real virus. It's taken hold, and the people that have Trump derangement syndrome are now completely, I mean, they were deluded before, but now they actually do act like they have some kind of a foreign virus that is completely, it's just to read their post, it's mind-boggling. Some guy, you know, again, this is a liberal, I'm not going to mention him, but I had respect for him before, one of my Facebook friends, he was on there saying, this is insurrection. These are the people that are protesting lockdown. And the federal government has the right to arrest them for insurrection. It's like, I mean, I don't think they're trying to overthrow the government. I think they're trying to open it back up. And I don't know, maybe the virus is going to cause the civil war. We thought Trump might, but it's really disturbing because that group that hates Trump and is happy with what's going on, I think if they said, you know, we have to keep doing this lockdown for another year, they're cool with that. And they're not looking – they're like a really immature kids that can't see into the future at all, and they can't see past the tip of their nose. They're not understanding what the impact this is going to have, and I don't know what the end game is here. Like I said, I don't – because this was clearly done, and we know this is a plandemic, not a pandemic. This was done for something – some really big purpose, and right now it looks like, okay, to just finally come out of the shadows and – be totalitarian, which we know they want anyhow, and they'll use this as a pretext. But I don't know how they get back, because you can't have, unless they're just going to, this is the way they're going to call the herd, and they're just going to let people die of starvation, because people are not going to have jobs to go back to. We already knew that unemployment rate was completely fake, because they don't count, they only count employment benefits. You've already had record number of claims for the last 3 weeks, it's going to keep going over. I just saw a stat that said Los Angeles County has a 50% unemployment rate. And I've said, if this goes on a month or two, you may have a 75% unemployment rate in this country.
Yeah, but you have political leaders, governors and mayors, insisting on maintaining the lockdown, despite the fact that it's going to immiserate, you know, their constituents. Which really, you know, why? And they've already, you know, the official numbers show that, you know, the virus has peaked, you know, if it ever existed. But but they insist that governors like Cuomo, Gretchen Whitmore, you have R. Clown, Northam, you know, Gavin Newsom, and now some states are emerging. Georgia's opening up on Friday. Florida seems to be emerging. Some of these other states, I think, nine states never did it.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's become so politicized. And I think John Rappaport said these governors, you have to look at them, and they're beholden to a foreign power at this point. You can't look at them as being beholden to their electorate, or even have any regard for the constitutions that they swore to uphold. Judge Napolitano, I think, correctly said that these governors are an open violation of their oath of office, and these are all impeachable offenses. I think it was on Tucker Carlson's show where the Governor Murphy of New Jersey, when he was asked pointedly, by what authority do you suspend the Bill of Rights in your state? And he goes, that's above my pay grade.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. I think it's pretty obvious that I've said for a long time the majority of people in this country don't believe in the Bill of Rights. They don't. I mean, certainly don't believe in free speech. So it's not surprise. I mean, you would think that'd be the hardest part of the Bill of Rights for someone to go against, free speech. But if they can go against that, they can certainly go against the right to freely assemble, the right to protest, and that kind of. So and this is what they're doing here. Certainly, freedom of religion. And I really thought, Tim, that when I thought Easter Sunday might be the showdown day, because I really thought that you would have lots and lots of renegade Christian preachers that were going to hold service. And unfortunately, I guess there were a few, but there weren't nearly enough. And you needed to have, you know, some of those super Joel Osteen type churches packed with thousands of people, but it didn't happen. And if you can get American Christian fundamentalists are very powerful in this country. If you can get them to stay home on Easter Sunday. And then we saw the pictures of like people being fined $500 for that was in Mississippi, that where they held like a service and from their cars.
Yeah, which didn't even violate the social distancing rules.
No,
and arbitrary. Yeah.
And the social distancing thing, not only is it an absurd concept, you know, so I guess 7 feet away is okay. The virus can only travel 6 feet. I mean, it's just, it's stupid. It makes no sense, but people are following it, and they're mocking us. Every time you see a press conference, every time you see the leaders, they're huddled together. They're in more than groups of 10. None of them are wearing masks, and yet they're lecturing us. I mean, it's the ultimate mocking of the, and it doesn't matter how obvious they make it. They could be laughing and literally laughing and pointing at us and scorn, and the people that are asleep are still going to be asleep. And it's terribly disillusioning because the country is, and for me, not much has changed, you know, because I, you know, since being, fired from my job or that I worked for my entire life, 44 years, a couple years ago, for helping out a handicapped coworker. That's a show in itself sometimes. I'll tell you, right? And of course, being in a Virginia, a right to work state, means they have a right to fire you for any reason. There's nothing you can do. So when you hear that title, right to work, believe me, it's a right to fire you for any reason. And so since then, I've been a full-time writer. I'm not making very much money at it, but so I work out of my home. And so it hasn't really changed me much. So I'm inside a lot. I just walk around. I can still do that. Luckily, they haven't enforced that you can't walk around the neighborhood. I walk a lot, and so does everybody else. I mean, you walk outside, you do see more people, definitely, because people are – and you can sense kind of that some of them are getting restless. But, you know, especially where we live, we have – there's so many government workers here where it's kind of dubious what kind of work they're doing anyhow.
Yeah.
So for them to be at home, and you know they're getting paid, you know, because they have the best employer in the world. The taxpayer's never going to stop paying them. So in our area, I think we may be the last state probably to break, and with the governor we have, I think we'll be the last state probably, or one of the last, because maybe Minnesota or something like that. But for people to just passively go along with this, and I remember a scene.
Well, the state governments are in blatant violation of people's civil rights at this point.
Yeah. Well, and this is, none of this is enforceable. It's all unconstitutional. I mean, keeping people from attending church, this is ridiculous. And they can't even prove, if this went to court, they can't prove this is any kind of pandemic. All you'd have to do is show the seasonal flu numbers versus this and say, you know, a couple years ago, 80,000 Americans died from the flu. Not a single thing was closed. Not a single thing was canceled. Nobody was forbidden to go to church. Nobody wore masks, and that's all you'd have to do. Of course, that would assume an honest courtroom, which you wouldn't have. But if you did have that, I mean, clearly, this it doesn't by any measure. I mean, if this was the 1918 flu, which I guess killed millions in the United States, you might be able to. But nothing was closed then. Of course, we didn't have the kind of government we had now either.
No, they have war bond drives during that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was that much to do. But if you had a Spanish flu epidemic now that killed a couple million Americans, which is what they were claiming this thing was going to do, their projections, the UK guy Neil Ferguson, it's been probably a month ago, that at least 3 weeks, that he admitted, hey, you know, I was really wrong. I said 2.2 million, maybe 20,000.
Well, here's the thing. The UK government knew, and presumably the US government knew, and presumably all the state governments knew that study was proven, way off the mark by the time they ordered the lockdown, because numbers are already going down, and who was getting daily situation reports on that? But they kept the fear because the lockdown, they needed the pretext for the lockdown, and the lockdown served a lot of purposes. They got that $2.1 trillion relief bill passed, which is another $4 trillion sop to corporate America and Wall Street, and also it established a precedent. Now you have medical martial law, and this is a huge leap towards the technocratic slave state they've been wanting to introduce. And this is you can also look at the Agenda 2030 or Agenda 21 being achieved with this.
Mm-hmm. And that was we know, and I posted again on my Facebook page. I posted lots of stuff about the. I think it was last October or last November, where they held a a conference with sponsored by the WHO, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, mm-hmm. all the usual suspects, talking about how are we going to react to a pandemic. You had several states, I don't know how many states, but I posted about the one in Connecticut last year, about the same time, fall, that had one of these drills and that talked about, you know, how do we respond to a pandemic? So there's a lot of talk in the air. And of course, Mike Pompeo, who's, you know, former CIA director, now Secretary of State, and clearly is more in charge than Trump is. Trump doesn't even know what's going on. And Pompeo he mentioned drill in one of the press conferences. And of course, we know from all the, and this has so many elements that we found in all the school shootings and all the mass shootings over the last few years that caused the internet to be shut down because they had such a rabbit hole element to them. And you had all these citizen journalists online making great videos, talking about crisis actors and all that stuff, but finding mannequins. But you see in all this with this scenario as well, the videos that they get taken down, but they're up there long enough to see that something very strange is going on. And we not only had things earlier, but recently I've been posting, there's a plethora out there of dancing nurses and doctors videos.
Yes, I've seen those, yeah.
I mean, and they, you know, to say they don't look overstressed is, you know, and not only that, but these are choreographed routines. They're not, you know, I mean, I worked in a hospital for a long time and I was engaged at one time to a nurse. I have never seen a nursing staff that could do that stuff. And they were interviewed on one of the fluffy morning shows by the empty-headed journalist who was, you know, dumbing it down to about the kindergarten level. Hey, guys. So I think she said guys. I think she broke Katie Couric's record for the number of times she called them guys. But said, no, hey, guys. And to say that the whole interview is like Alice in Wonderland. It's like you could never tell this is a tremendous crisis, unprecedented situation in American history. They were all smiles, again, just like you saw in the school shootings and the witnesses, the parents and everything, things that we all commented on. The exact same type of inappropriate behavior. And some of the dance routines were done with patients there. Now, I don't know if they were real, if they're real patients. That's unbelievable, but were they mannequins? Were they actors? I don't know, but the whole thing made no sense. But then I posted something the other day. It's it might still be up on YouTube. It says something really strange is going on in New York City. And so many of these come out of New York City because this is supposed to be the epicenter. And of course, you know, people like Jason Goodman and people mm-hmm. like that have done all the empty hospital videos, and but not all over the world, but tons in New York. It doesn't look like anything's going on. But this guy was – and he recorded, and I – now, of course, I've been told by people that are trying to, you know, explain all this stuff away. Well, this is but it's supposedly some kind of self-congratulatory thing that is being done all at hospitals all over at 7 o'clock in the evening or something where they all, I mean, there must have been 50 nurses in uniform that came outside. And of course, my first question was, how can you suddenly spare 50 nurses just to go outside and take pictures? Mm-hmm. What about the patients? You know, and they were laughing, taking selfies, joking, dancing around, as Jason Goodman found in all the other videos. There are EMTs, fire trucks, ambulances, all idly by, and one of them runs the siren, not to go to an emergency, but and that gives all, they're all whooping, jumping up in the air. It's just, it has to be seen to be believed. And the guy does try to ask a couple questions, but he's not really good at asking it, but he's asking something about what about all the dead bodies inside and stuff. And they're just smiling inappropriately. And it's whatever it is. And I think that carries over from all the empty hospital videos you see that have been everywhere. You just don't see. I don't know what a pandemic is supposed to look like, but you just don't see it. Whatever it is, it doesn't look like what you're seeing in those videos. And of course, we've all been assured, well, you don't know what's like inside. And, oh, my God, my brother's cousin's girlfriend's daughter's in-law, you know, had it, or she works as a nurse. And she's, well, we had more nurses that have come out and said, no, this is nothing going on. We have other nurses saying they're claiming everybody died of it. Didn't. You have lots of doctors like Andrew Kaufman that had on my show, Dr. Stephen Hotze had on my show, lots of Dr. Shiva that have been out there that have said, no, this is ridiculous. So I don't even know what's going on, but at this point, I've stopped even trying to analyze what it is because you get nowhere with that anyhow. But let's look at if you look about 2 weeks ago, maybe less than that. Suddenly, Fox News, which I like Tucker Carlson normally, But they had gone full fear porn, and that's mm-hmm. this thing was driven by for a long time. And then it's like a switch was flipped. One night, maybe about 10 days, whatever it was, I don't know, last week, suddenly he came on one night and it was sounding like me. He was suddenly questioning it and said, how could we have been so wrong? How could the projections have been so wrong? He started having guests and they all flipped and started saying about Laura Ingraham and all them about how, you know, this is, they're all dubious now, rightfully so. They're all and they started stressing, when is America going to go back work? What are we going to do? This social distancing is ruining human interaction. All the things that we've been saying. So I don't know what happened, but ever since they started doing that, the other side, the CNNs, even though CNN had even itself admitted, yeah, we were really wrong about these projections. And but they, it's like they dug their heels in. And now they're like Montgomery County, Maryland, you know, and there's now you can't go out of your house without a mask.
Yeah, that's I was out there actually for work. I drove out there into a neighborhood, and I was pleased to find that you had a bunch of young mothers out with their kids. None of them were wearing masks.
Oh, good, good. Well, that's good. I'm glad to know there's some rebellious people, because that's just, I mean, would you have to put a mask on babies? I mean, it's just, it's so stupid. But what once that happened, once that they started, and you know, even Dr. Fauci and all these people had to acknowledge, okay, well, maybe, and that's why you're seeing the deaths still exploding, because they have to get up to that 60,000 figure Dr. Fauci said.
Well, look at New York. Did they borrowed 3,700?
Yes, exactly.
A lot of it's about getting funding too. You had that interview with Dr. Jensen. He's a state senator.
Yeah.
In Minnesota, and it was a genuine interview. It was very interesting because you had a local journalist who I think probably isn't completely controlled, and he asked him incredulously, he goes, why would they pad the numbers? And the doctor kind of pauses, and he says, well, fear is a great way to rule people. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to explain, you know, the Medicare scam, where if you get a patient the patient is registered as a COVID-19 patient, they get a block payment of $13,000 from Medicare. And if you put them on a ventilator, it goes up to $39,000.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, you know, so you have that driving it. And that's how you get people on board, at least the hospitals on board to this, because
sure,
they want the money.
Yeah. And I worked in the medical industrial complex my entire life, and I know how corrupt they are. So it doesn't surprise me at all. And both the WHO and the CDC were caught lying in 2009 about the swine flu. Cheryl Atkinson lost her job for exposing the CDC, fired by CBS for exposing the CDC for doing it. So we know they've done it before. We know their directives are out there now saying they're doing it. They're telling you what they're doing. But no one seems to care. I mean,
what's been exposed is that the ties between Fauci, Dr. Birx, to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation,
yes.
Bill Gates, and also Gates now, I think, is the largest contributor. Now that the U.S. government's no longer paying their dues to WHO, his foundation is the largest contributor to the World Health Organization. He also donates money to the CDC. So there's this revolving door as a network. I could say you could probably build a criminal conspiracy case if you really want to investigate this, how these organizations supposedly are in charge of public health and regulating our health system and providing information for the politicians to make policies have become they're in bed with these oligarchs like Bill Gates, the self-proclaimed guru of humanity. And even the Imperial College was a recipient of the Gavi Alliance funding.
Yep.
So it's all you can make these connections that basically the same people that conducted this event 201, John Hopkins University, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, and these things, they create the crisis in order to create the political environment where they can achieve their agenda, which is a sort of forced vaccination and also greater technocratic control of society, which obviously is what they're playing. Because Bill Gates has even said that. He says, if we want to if you want to be able to emerge from your home, you're going to have to submit to the jab.
You have to
have monitoring. And then even the Kushner and Ivanka Trump are involved in trying to set up a COVID-19 monitoring system, which was actually just a revamping of this of a plan they had last year for monitoring school shootings. So they've taken one fear to another, and they're creating a pretext for total surveillance and monitoring.
Yeah, and you're seeing the same kinds of elements that you see in those school shootings, and there's so many rabbit hole elements here because I've only seen one person send it to me. I don't know if it's true. If it's true, it's unbelievable. I mean, I have a very low opinion of insurance companies, but even I can't believe this. But apparently, insurance companies have a vested interest here too, because if they can list the cause of death as being from COVID, it's a pandemic. Supposedly, they don't have to pay off life insurance claims.
Well, this is why you can't fudge death certificates and say, oh, yeah, we just presume this. Because there's a fraud element involved in that.
Yeah, I mean, so just imagine what insurance companies would have to get. And then you even have the Kennedys involved here. I'm sure you heard about the never-ending list of mysterious, unnatural Kennedy deaths.
That was weird,
a couple of weeks ago, you had Mavie McLean, who was Kathleen Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy's daughter's daughter. So she was RFK's granddaughter. And you have this, I mean, to say this is bizarre is beyond belief. Supposedly she was playing kickball with her 10-year-old son near the Chesapeake Bay. And they decide the ball goes in the water. So, now if a family on food stamps, I don't think they wouldn't have a canoe to begin with, probably, would not go into the bay, choppy waters, it was choppy waters that day, to retrieve a kickball. This is what we're told to believe. And what most people are not asking is that, okay, it's bad enough she did that, but why did she need to have the 10-year-old come in the canoe with her?
I read that report. I said, what?
Yeah, I mean, and then if you read the interview with the husband, this guy was throwing. He was basically dismissing them as dead, like a couple hours after they went missing. I mean, there was no hope. Well, you know, they were great people. I mean, it's like what? None of it rang true. But most important element is, Mavie McLean was the director for a global health initiative at Georgetown University, funded by the Gates Foundation. Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. Mm-hmm. The most outspoken member of the Kennedy family, obviously one of the biggest critics of vaccines and autism, he writes almost right after they died. He writes a blazing critique of Gates on Instagram. I don't know if you read that or not. He doesn't pull any punches.
He talks about what happened in India, the paralyzing 500,000 kids.
Just really brave profiles and courage stuff. I don't know what's going on there, but I think that the combination of, first of all, being a Kennedy, you know, so naturally my spidey sense goes off just then, no matter what. And, you know, they certainly don't die in normal ways, but even for them, this is pretty bizarre. And to think that, so I certainly question it. And, but again, this is what you get. All this crazy stuff is going on at the same time. And the fact her job, I think, just, you know, throws a whole different thing on. Okay, she happened to be involved in the same kind of area, you know, under a Gates initiative. So many things are happening that, you know, lead you down those rabbit holes. But I think the most important thing of all is just right in front of us, and that is that this is unprecedented. The response was unwarranted. No one's justified it. No one's explained it. And now that they've admitted that their numbers were way off, this is going to be, even with their fudged numbers, this is going to kill about what an average flu season kills, if that. So why are we shutting everything down? Why is it still shut down? Why are we allowing the economy to crumble? So you already have 50% unemployment in Los Angeles County. Who knows what the unemployment's going to be around the country? How many businesses have already collapsed that will never return? So where are these people going to go to work? So you have proposals now a stimulus, $2,000 a month stimulus to people. And you have AI, as you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Is this where they're just going to unleash AI and say, we know people don't have to work anymore, we're going to give you all a stimulus check? Are they just going to introduce state control and forget any kind of a capitalist economy? I don't know what kind of economy you're going to have left, because outside of – there's so many reasons, you know, that this could have happened or will benefit from it. Certainly the Walmarts will benefit even further, because the smaller companies that are left that are competing with them, they're the ones that can't stay afloat for 2 months. Walmart can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with the restaurants. I mean, the big chains will be able to stay alive, but the ones, the mom-and-pop shops, especially the ones that depended, I go, you know, near me, I Chinese restaurant that walked by, temporarily closed, another place is closed down for good. how many of those places exist that are not chains that depended on people eating inside, that there is forbidden? I mean, how can you possibly go 2 months without any kind of income? You're paying, you're leasing a place there, and there's no type of indication that they're going to give relief to say, okay, we're going to forgive. I think there should be a moratorium on rents. It looks like countries like Venezuela have been doing that for the last month. But America's, their idea of helping people is a $1,200 check. And that's about the most you're going to get. Now, they're talking about, Ilhan Omar, of all people, came up with a proposal to forgive all rent and mortgage for a year. And that's my Huey Long alley there. And I'm amazed, but I just don't see it happening, because if that happens, it would be the first time average people got anything from their government really in the history of our country. And it's not, they're not getting from the government, but the government did something to make it happen. As I pointed out, because somebody was saying, oh, well, that's tax dollars. I said, no tax dollars would be needed at all for that, because that's the government's not involved in that. First of all those loans are fraudulent to begin with. Mm-hmm. So, but I suspect what would happen is that they would just add. I can't believe they would just forgive a year for everyone's mortgages. I think that they would probably say, okay, and then you got to start paying it, but we're going to add a year to the end, in which case you really gain nothing. I don't know how they would collect back rents. I don't know. But so you're at least proposals like that are out there, because I think they recognize how severe this is, because they're not going to be jobs to go back to. A $1,200 check is not going to cover anyone's rent in most places, let alone anything else. So they have to come up with some kind of contingency plan. And the people that are just saying stay at home are mostly people that have nice homes to stay in, are either entertainers or politicians or government workers, or people that have always been able to work from home.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing has changed for them. But the people, what about the people that the retail workers that were struggling, to make ends meet, the servers at restaurants?
Well, also, these people are also actually do the real work of society.
Yes.
I mean, they get things done. They build things, maintain things. And we're seeing the coronavirus as an excuse to shut down, production plants like, Smithfield Foods. A quarter of their plants have been shut down, supposedly because of the virus. And this could be a staged food shortage.
Yeah,
this was done in the French Revolution.
I don't worry about that,
And this would go along with the planned demolition of the U.S. economy, because you create an environment where people become dependent by crushing the economy. So the objective is crushing the economy. They've done this before. They did it in Libya. They did it in Syria recently. They did it in Russia with Jeffrey Sachs and Larry Summers and the Harvard boys. So they do this. They implode economies. This is what these oligarchs, globalists, cosmopolitans do. And it just, now the U.S. economy could be on the chopping block, or at least a huge section of it, because they want to bring everyone's living standard down, which goes with that Agenda 21 scenario, which we see being played out. And I mentioned that there was a government study last year that called for, expanding artificial intelligence, making our economy more like China, doing away with the legacy economy, like personally owned vehicles and retail stores, and making everyone shop online. Now, they couldn't do that unless they created a crisis, and never let a crisis go to waste. Not only do you wait for you create the crisis, which is what they did with the economy. Now, I'm not saying that the economy wasn't due for some sort of reset or correction because of what the central bank's been doing, Federal Reserve, what Wall Street has been doing to the economy, with funny money. But obviously there's a way you could organize that and have an equitable solution, but they don't want that. They use the crisis as a pretext to engage another orgy of plunder. And then they hand out, these checks, and handing out checks don't do anything if the stores are all closed anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it might cover some people's rents, but I mean, it's maybe deep down south or something, but it's there's so many problems that have been created, and like a lot of people are saying, is that there's going to be way more suffering and more deaths.
Well, that was obvious from the get-go. They didn't care.
Yeah, they knew that. I mean, because how many suicides will this result in? How many families will break up? I mean, there's so many things that will, and just the whole, again, the social element. You have some scientists saying we can't go back from social distancing for until 2022.
Well, that's insane. That's not even science. That's fake science.
It's insane. It is insane, yeah. Because already, what impact is this having on young people that are trying to form relationships?
Yes.
I mean, out there that, you know, they're scared to hold hands, let alone do anything else. I mean, will this finally end the world's oldest profession?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's possible. I guess porn will be more popular than ever, but, and they haven't yet said that married couples have to, you know, stay with 6 feet apart.
Governor Murphy said that in New Jersey, or that great guy from New Jersey, said that people should practice social distancing at home too.
Oh, sure. That sounds great. Well, you know, we have people like, and then you have these nuts like Chris Cuomo, who's, you know, has the strangest case of this thing ever, where he's going online, and interviewing from his basement, where he's quarantining himself, even from his wife and kids, although his wife supposedly later got it. But he was caught out, and I posted this on my social media. He was caught by a 65-year-old guy riding a bike, out, you know, cavorting and frolicking with his wife, another woman or couple, three kids, out on his property or something. And of course, he went into his Frito mold, which is the thug mobster wanted, comes out every time, and he went crazy. And because again, he was caught with his pants down. Clearly, you have nothing. You're out here, and clearly, you don't care. Just like the rest of our idiot leaders out there that are telling us to, we must do this, and they're not wearing masks.
And none of the reporters asked Governor Cuomo about his brother, did they?
No, of course not. And they did ask Trump, of course, because again, Trump is the fake opposition. He's Goldstein from 1984. So they did ask him why he wasn't wearing a mask. Of course, he gave a typical Trump answer. No, I don't want, you know, just typical. You can always rely on Trump to say what they want him to say. It's something stupid that made no sense, but they would never ask that to Cuomo or somebody like that, because they, first of all, he's their guy. They love him. He's on their side. And they don't even have to be told. It just doesn't occur to them to ask a pertinent question. Why wouldn't the reporter say, you know, why are we gathering in this room? There's more than 10 people. We're telling everybody else they can't do this. How come none of you are wearing masks? Why are you huddled around the lectern up there? They don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture they showed of Bill Gates and Fauci and someone walking along almost arm in arm, no mask. Again, these are the people that are the architects of this draconian authoritarianism, and nobody questions them. And that's more than ever.
Has anyone asked Bill Gates if his kids are vaccinated?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, again, the hypocrisy is as old as, I mean, how many, other than Jimmy Carter, who sent Amy Carter to Washington, D.C. public schools, amazingly enough. Every other president, all the politicians go to Sidwell Friends around here in places like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't. None of them go to public schools, but they all, you know, tell you that, you know, public education, not private schools isn't for you, and so they don't walk the walk. They're famous for being total hypocrites. So yeah, of course, vaccinations aren't for them. That's for the riffraff. But I keep hoping that something good. And I thought my early interviews on this, I was taking the tack that I said, you know, I think they finally may have overplayed their hand, because this is something that affects everyone. And I assumed that there would be some business leaders, especially, that would be up in arms over, hey, you know, maybe not, you know, corporate leaders, but people that were doing pretty well, and you've decimated my business. Well, you know, but I don't see anybody. I don't see the Small Business Administration. I don't see anybody talking about this. I don't see any corporate leaders protesting.
What's the Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, Chamber of Commerce. Well, we know they're in it all together, but
yes.
Theoretically, the Chamber of Commerce is about commerce. And you shut down commerce. So, I mean, I don't understand it. And the fact that there's such a uniformity of opinion on it, now it's cracked a little, because now Fox News is breaking off. And so you're starting to see this split into a familiar left-right debate.
But did you think that going into the 2020 elections, that the big debate would be whether or not people should be allowed to work to feed themselves? I mean, keep a roof over their heads? And that's, I mean.
And you're right. And what does worry me is they've already given out feelers with the poultry plant or the pork plant or whatever that was closed. they've already started, and now there's this nonsense about the farmers having to throw away crops. Mm-hmm. And again, which it just goes back to Huey Long in the 1930s. The government has been doing this kind of stupid stuff for a long time. He kept saying, you know, why are you throwing food away when you got millions of people starving? It makes no sense, of course. It's insane. Now you have people waiting in food lines, people that need, if we had real, honest, effective leadership, they would easily be able to figure out a way, okay, well, we're not going to throw food away. That's incredible. It's a sin. It's crazy. So, of course, we're going to get the food to the people that need it. Instead, they're just the virus, you know, the virus even affected that. It's terrible. And they just play the music, and the media airs it unquestionably. And it's awful, you know, these things. And nobody puts two and together. Wait, why can't we have any leaders who can figure out how to get food that's going to be thrown away to people that need food?
But it also goes back to the false pandemic, which created this fear where they shut the economy down. So all the, you know, normal distribution and purchasing of food to the restaurants and the whole distribution system has been messed up. So all created by the original fear based on fake numbers, which they knew were fake. Yeah. No one's going to go back and, you know, demand heads should roll for this.
No, and no one's questioning it. No one is, other than people like us, and the right is grumbling mostly because they're about, we need to get back to work. America needs to get back to work. But no one is questioning the narrative. Is that, wait a minute, this is, it never made sense. Those of us who were doubting at the beginning have been proven right, clearly. This made no sense at all. It was never going to kill anywhere near anything different than what happens in an average flu season. We knew that. And that's with you faking the numbers and padding the stats. This thing might have only killed, you know, a couple hundred people for all we know, legitimately. We don't know.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, if it even exists, I mean, it could, the strain could not even exist. But regardless of that, the response is unprecedented. We have never shut down canceled. I mean, when you know it's serious when you cancel March Madness and the NBA and NHL playoffs.
Well, they need to do that to create the illusion that it's real.
Yeah. And again, none of those officials are complaining. All the money they lost, again, I just assume they're all getting paid off. The leaders are.
That's what's happening, yeah.
Yeah, and that they're getting paid. Because, I mean, again, these are people whose entire lives revolve around the profit margin and, you know, how much you're getting. So for none of them to be complaining, I mean, who knows how much they got out of that stimulus bill? Will there be more? Will the unaudited Federal Reserve just be funneling them, you know, who knows how much, to keep your mouth shut and just say, you know, we have to stay safe and keep washing your hands and keep now, that's one good thing that'll come out of it, Tim. For years, I've had a pet peeve that we know that a lot of people don't wash their hands when they go to the bathroom. So now maybe, finally, we're going to get people to wash their hands. Yes, so, exactly. So,
boy, it's a hard way to get there, I tell you that.
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't think we should have to have a fake pandemic or real pandemic to get it that way. But that's the other good thing maybe would be, maybe families will be closer together, spending what that are stuck together. But you see already, I know in my family, that if the kids aren't living at home, my kids are at home. But if my older sisters, that kids aren't at home anymore, they're not letting them in the house.
Well, are they that scared? I mean, are they that buffaloed by this?
Yeah, that's why people tell me all the time. I mean, what you're hearing me say now, I've been saying this since I was in my 20s. I mean, the kind of stuff. I've been a radical all my life. And I haven't converted. My son is only one that's awake in my entire family. You know, everyone else is sound asleep. So I can't even convert the people around me. So, you know, that's how hard it is. You know, because they're hearing, you know, they're very familiar with these arguments. And they go, you'd think one of them might have said, wow, he was talking about that like back in the 80s and 90s, you know. And, you know, I guess he was kind of right, but no, it just never clicks. And with I think this has been, and again, for those of us that think all these things are planned, that believe Donald Trump was selected to become president to be this divisive force, was this all planned in advance to have something like this happen with him in the center of it, where they knew they could get this incredible control because they could tap into that hatred,
mm-hmm.
the feel of Trump, and they're willing to do anything to just go what they think is going against him, because that's the way it's breaking down. I mean, I'm seeing it. I don't see a single liberal. So, I mean, I'm a classical liberal. I should be on the left, but I'm not welcome there because the left is completely deranged now. I mean, and so there's no room for people like me, civil libertarians. They don't want that. But you can see it. You can see it in the attitude towards Roger Stone because he's associated with Trump, which is happening now. You can just see it with everything, but everything associated with it. And this is also, you mentioned the technocracy. This is, I think, the reason why it breaks down this way as well is because the people on the left largely have lost faith. They don't have any. They don't believe in God, or they have some kind of a Buddhist type of mysterious thing where I don't even know if they believe it. What they believe in, but it's kind of, you know, a nature thing or whatever. But they don't have faith, and I think that has been displaced and replaced rather by faith in science. And this is a science driven narrative. This is all medical science. Mm-hmm. These are all, and you know, you have to trust, you know, oh my God, you don't trust. I mean, I see it all the time.
You know, they're wrong about everything, admittedly.
Exactly. And again, I said, you know, this is
the experts.
Yeah. I said these, they've been wildly wrong about everything. They're admitting, they're telling you what they're doing with the numbers. They're admitting their projections were as off as, you know, an astronomer's projections were 100 years ago. Or a meteorologist is every time he predicts the weather almost. I mean, they're completely wrong, but you guys still trust them. And it's because it's like, I guess, 400 or 500 years ago, how people trusted the church. That's where their faith is at. And they believe in this scientific establishment. They see a scientist or a doctor, some kind of an official, or even a Bill Gates who's like a... Again, he's just now. He does have some association with viruses because his crappy operating systems have produced enough viruses. But so I guess I can't really say he does. But this is a guy I've tried to point out when people say, oh, you're just a guy on the internet. So, well, who is Bill Gates? Bill Gates is a guy who was a monopolist who stole an operating system from Apple, who had stolen it from IBM, and lucked into this monopoly situation where he's got everybody. With his crappy operating system, and it's hard to compete, really. And that's what his expertise in. He knows he's no scientist. He has no experience in medicine. So what does he have to do with viruses other than the ones that he gets on his computers? And yet he's considered, you know, they'll interview him on mainstream media, and he'll. And of course, it just like he might as well be a crisis actor because he's smiling and inappropriately during all these interviews, talking about the most awful things in the world. And he'll just be smiling inappropriately.
And don't ask him about him being kicked out of India for paralyzing half a million children vaccines.
Yeah, and he would probably smile inappropriately about that too. And it's just he really looks like him and Fauci both. I mean, they easily could be in the cast of an old Universal horror film, like working in the lab. You know, it's the Dr. Frankenstein types that are, you know, trying to do really some awful things there in their experiments
Fauci was the one that fast-tracked AZT, which killed hundreds of thousands of people in the 80s and 90s. And you know, he's been at NIH for more than 50 years and that rarefied existence there, a bureaucrat. Yeah. He's a medical bureaucrat. And I think it was Bobby Kennedy Jr. who wrote about the scandals that he was involved in getting doctors fired for exposing the fact that tainted blood was sent out, and he knew about it, and he's also got involved in the AIDS scam with Robert Gallo in the 80s. Has patents on vaccines, and he's in a position to make a lot of money off this. All of this should be examined. Same with Dr. Birx, and again, as we mentioned earlier, their connections to Gates and the Gates Foundation. What you have is a spiderweb or network of these various individuals, NGOs or foundations, and you know, supposedly government agencies, but they're really not. CDC and World Health Organization, I'd argue, really aren't. They're captured at the very least, and they've all come together to create the scenario that's played out in reality now, and they're set to profit from and also see their agendas fulfilled. And you can very easily make this case. I mean,
it's all there. It's the evidence. Like, you know, people call me a conspiracy theorist. I said, you know, I'm not giving any opinion. Frankly, I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know. I still don't know why this happened. I can't believe it happened so fast.
But shutting down the U.S. economy is so stupid.
Yes, I mean,
it's destructive. That it has to be, it's not a public health measure, it's a cover. That's what I'm trying to tell people.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that it happened with virtually no opposition. even the protests that you see now, the right getting restless, is happening, a couple months down the road or whatever, or a month and a half down the road or whatever. There was nothing at first. No, virtually no one outside people like me, when I started doing it on the internet, and several others, there were lots of us on the internet, and you had renegade doctors out there. John Rappaport was there from the beginning questioning it. But other than that, there was a uniformity of opinion that was very similar to after 9/11, where it's the same kind of thing, where there was no opposition allowed, even though already on the internet we were saying, oh, wait, this doesn't add up, this doesn't add up. And so that's what we started doing. But there's no theory. I have no theory, because there could be a lot of reasons why this is going on. All I know is that the reaction does not jibe with what the virus or whatever you want to call it.
When we've had when we've had seasons that are far worse just in the past 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. This is not only nothing worse than usual. It may not even be an average flu season. It makes no sense. And yet. You keep they go, it's different than the flu. It's more contagious. Well, how is it more contagious if it's not killing? Well, it makes no sense. I mean, Donald Trump shook the hands of the guy that supposedly had it, didn't catch it. A 73-year-old, out of shape guy, obese guy. He didn't catch it. Justin Trudeau Justin Trudeau didn't catch it from his wife. The Spanish prime minister didn't catch it from his wife. I mean, obviously, it doesn't seem to transmit that, because if it's that contagious. People and look at the country like India. Last time I looked, India had like 19 cases.
And they shut that down. And that's like, there's people, the people starving to death because of that. And you're going to create much more of a public health issue when people start moving, because you'll get a mass movement of people, because they'll go back to where they can eke out a living. You're going to have millions of people trekking across the land, and talk about the sanitation issues with that. India already has it.
Yeah, and so you would think, because of the sanitation issues there, and because of the incredible
they'll blame a new virus when that happens.
Yeah, exactly. wouldn't you expect that the virus to catch like wildfire in place like India? But no, it doesn't. And you have a country like Sweden, which has been alone, them and I guess Brazil, in bucking the trend, and they haven't locked down completely. And as I understand it, their death rate is about what it is in the U.S. and elsewhere.
Yeah, but those economies aren't vital to restructuring the global economy. There's a restructuring that's occurring.
Yeah, it's mostly social distancing in those places, because they don't. But what's really, the U.S. is going to be the hardest hit, because we're the center of the world economy, and we are built on capitalism, crony capitalism. But that's why I said, I don't know what's going to happen out of this, but I think the best case scenario out of all this is that we go back to some semblance of the crappy situation we had before.
Yeah.
But it's going to be worse no matter what, because the unemployment rate will be higher and all the same problems we had before. But that's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is that they go into these code orange, code red situations. We got to go on lockdown mode again.
They set the precedent for that. Yes.
Yeah, and they're already saying that the
virus
come back. Yeah, I mean, and all they've shown that when they do that, the proles will comply.
Well, it's literally a phantom menace, and now they can just say it's out there and it's invisible. Yeah. It's like, hey, trust us. It's out there. Trust the CDC. Trust the World Health Organization. You might as well trust the CIA. It's ridiculous.
If you thought these terrorists that are everywhere and anywhere, if you thought they were hard to find, this is literally invisible. And they could just, well, it's here.
Really disturbing is you had Fauci talking about this and other people talking about this. Jeff Bezos saying more testing is necessary before the economy reopens. Well, who the F is Jeff Bezos? He just runs a mail order system, a glorified mail order. Of course, why would Jeff Bezos want the retail economy to shut down?
Yeah.
Now, of course, and he's deep state black. That's black money and black budget money. Amazon wasn't profitable for over a decade. Stayed in business. How does that happen? Because that's part of this reordered artificial intelligence green economy, if you will. And that's what they want to destroy. They want to destroy mom and pop operations, retail outlets, people going around. They don't want private ownership of vehicles. That's why Uber got started, perhaps. So all this is being engineered. People don't realize it really is that well planned out. And at some point, you shut the economy down. So to protect us from the virus, we all have to starve to death. Does that make any sense? It doesn't make sense. But it does make sense if you're oligarchs or you're financiers and you want to demolish, or you know, sort of a planned demolition of the U.S. economy, bring asset prices down, because people, those with the capital are going to be able to come back and buy, you know, companies up for a song, hospitals up, shopping malls up, whatever, property, these things, stocks and all that. And then you bet there are people, because we know there are people who shorted the market just going into this, sold their stock. The senators did.
I think you're going to see, you know, even more of a consolidation of wealth, if that's possible.
Yeah.
You know, in Survival of the Richest, my book, I used a lot of this 80-20 split where I said, you know, the top 20% are doing really well. Of course, the 1% is doing incredibly well, and the 19% below them or so run everything. And those are the ones, and 80% of the rest of us are living paycheck to paycheck. Yeah. All the statistics show it. If we don't have $400 in the bank and all that stuff, the bottom 50% has nothing. That was before. But now, and that's why I thought they'd overplayed their hand. Because just when this first started, I mean, I heard of a neighbor that works for a doctor that was getting ready to retire. He had to postpone his retirement because he lost everything in the stock market. Another doctor had to the same kind of thing. He had to delay retirement. Someone else I know that I know of is somebody's father. Lost $200,000 in stock. Now, you have to have a lot of money to lose $200,000 in the stock market, but those are the kind of people that are being infected. Another one lost 20% of his net worth, had to delay retirement. And these are the kind of people I thought, well, they've overplayed. They obviously, they're satisfied with what they have. So we may start seeing a 90-10 split where they're squeezing out that bottom 10% or so of the people that were doing real well. And so you're saying buying up businesses and all that. Yeah, the businesses left, they're going to get – again, the same people are just going to be have more monopoly control, and the rest of us are just going to be struggling. And it's going to be really – you know, the people that that were doing real well, they're going to be a starstruck, I guess, as a lot of the people when the industry started leaving this country that had good jobs, and they were forced to suddenly work at convenience stores, they were out of work. Or people in IT, like my industry and stuff, that lost their jobs for outsourcing to H-1B visa workers and so forth, that had to end up, you know, working in retail and things like that. It's a rude awakening, because you go from one standard of living to something clearly below that. Well, they may have to do that as well. And I think – I can't believe, but I guess, again, we just can't get organized. Because somebody has told me on the internet a couple times, well, what are you doing – other than writing and talking about this, and I said, what else can I do? I'm doing the same thing Ron Paul's doing, is that he's doing that a lot too. He just has a much bigger audience than me, but that's what I'm doing. I said, what else can I do? I said, you know, first of all, I live in a state. I don't know if you saw that poll recently where it said 76 or 78% of Northern Virginia or Virginians across the state support the crackdowns that Governor Northam ordered. So, I mean, I'm in a distinct minority here. I'd be lucky to get 10 people to go with me.
I don't know how accurate those polls are now. So,
that's what people say. But I know Northern Virginia.
It's zombie.
I mean, this is I mean, you know, that's almost 100%. It's ridiculous. But unfortunately, I don't know what we. Like I said, I'm not going to for anything. I'm not going to put myself on the line if I know I don't have anybody backing me. And unless there are thousands of people there and I know they're going to be there, then I would go, of course.
Well, there were some – there was a sizable protest in Michigan, armed protest.
Yeah.
I understand also in Minnesota. Now, you probably have to get a lot to get Minnesotans to protest, you know.
Of all places.
Yeah. I heard Texas –
Ohio had
one that was pretty raucous. At this point, what you have to do is, because they're making, if you heard that they're making, you know, like, again, reopening conditional on testing, which they don't have, which, by the way, is nonsense anyway, because I don't have to be tested to go out and engage in commerce. This is my right to do this. I don't have to prove that I'm not a bioweapon. That's BS. It all goes back to this infectious disease narrative which they've been pushing. It's the germ theory, this stuff. They weaponized the germ theory.
And if you want to take it to the fullest extent, somebody like me, who I'm incredible, I have not liked to give blood for a long time because, I'm scared they could plant it at a crime scene.
Yes.
Or they could take my DNA. And so something like this, if they can take something that has your DNA, what's to stop, especially troublemakers like us?
Yes.
They could easily say, oh, yeah, well, you know, you knew that was happening. Look at all the crazy stuff he used to talk about.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to go slaughter a bunch. I mean, that worries me. And, of course, it sounds delusional, but I don't – that's what I keep trying to tell people. Why would you trust these people? Look who's driving this narrative. Our politicians – enough said there.
Yeah.
The state-controlled media that lies to this, if they were telling the truth about this, it would be the first time they told the truth about anything
yes.
in my lifetime. The WHO and the CDC, who have both been caught lying about the
yes.
exact same thing we're claiming they're lying about this time. Why would you believe this narrative? I mean,
mm-hmm.
celebrities who are coming out of the woodwork claiming, you know, that they have it. I mean, like Greta Thunberg. I mean, all the predictable celebrities that I think I had. It's like, I mean, who? Why would you accept this narrative? But people have turned off, and it's part of the left where they've made everything emotional. So this entire thing is emotion driven. There's no reason because they're not reasoning; they're thinking emotionally, and you can't reason with people who won't reason. The entire thing is emotional. How does it make them feel? They'll show them a picture. Oh my God! Look at that. Happy that someone's speaking out when you have people that have supported you in the past of a. Written about your books and things like that. I've interviewed you. I mean, I had a guy that interviewed me a few years back and was kissing my butt the entire time, loving me. And he broke with me over this. He deleted me. And, but it's all politicized. This should not be politicized. There's no such thing like as a liberal or conservative virus.
No, trying to turn into that.
Yeah, because look at the protests. I thought they probably wouldn't even cover the protests in the mainstream media, but they're covering them, and of course they're demonizing them. Of course, first of all, because they're. I mean, but even if they weren't white, if blacks or whatever showed up, they'd just be saying they were Uncle Toms or whatever. But the fact that they're mostly whites, overwhelmingly white, they're using that, and they're using the Confederate terms. Like
yes.
you said, maybe coming up. I mean, it's ridiculous. Again, politicizing this because. These are people that just are objecting to tyranny, and you realize if we had an America, just imagine what would happen. You know, I've written so much about history and the founding fathers. If they came back today, if they could just look at this, I mean, just imagine what they would think. You know, a lot of them lost their fortunes. They really did. Some of them gave up their lives. They really did for this. This is what we did for. You asleep clowns out there that are buying something. I mean, it's like, you know, we have a bunch of used car salesmen that are in charge of us that have sold us one lemon after another over and over. And yet we're just going right back to them and trusting what they say. I don't know what it's very disillusioning. And interesting.
Hopefully, I mean, this is a slap across the face to a lot of people, meaning a lot of normal people that, you know, they don't quite know what to make of it. And unfortunately, you need something like this to wake people up. You can't get people who are comfortable to understand these things, to get even to think about them. And perhaps the silver lining in this that you know, as the situation crisis deepens, they'll wake up to the reality of the system that they're living under, and that'll get them, you know, start questioning things. I know at this point it's inchoate, it's not directed, there's no leadership to it, and you know, the protests are encouraging. Hopefully, they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and we do
they
see
are,
some states
are, yeah.
opening up now in the South. Some of the more reasonable people, like
yeah.
Georgia now is opening up. There, you know, you can go to a gym in Georgia now and come
That's
Friday.
Right.
But
yeah.
what we have to do is now the fact that more or less the actual pandemic was a dud, like it usually,
yeah.
like they always are. You know, is you had to control the narrative because they're trying to say, well, the numbers are low because of the measures we took. Well,
yeah, all they'll brag about. Yeah,
yes,
we had to do this. Look how great it worked.
Yeah. Even though they knew that it wasn't going to happen again, you'll get that with the World Health Organization. The studies show that everything was on the decline, even the official numbers. So
yeah.
this wasn't necessary. The lockdowns weren't necessary as a public health measure. Again, the lockdowns were a pretext to shut down the economy to carry out the financial coup and perhaps the technocratic coup that we're going to see unveiled. Because as a condition of reopening the economy, they're going to say you need testing. Although they don't have any reliable tests, or
yeah.
you need to take you need universal vaccinations. Although if a vaccination does work, you don't. If you take it, you're fine. So why do you have to make another person take it? That's
oh yeah, well that well that's the whole thing with that. We've made that argument about kids. You know, if they work, what are you worried about?
Yeah.
But so you're protected, right? Your kid's protected.
Yes.
But it's not about that. It's about controlling it. Yes. Something like that has just, you know.
Well, this has, you know, sort of lured or has lured Bill Gates out, and so I think many more people see Bill Gates for the monster and tool that he is.
Yes.
And so that's a great I think expansion of public consciousness as more people see Bill Gates as a villain.
Yeah.
Which I think many more do now than they did a couple months ago, they'll be able to recognize what the system's trying to do to him. He's openly come out and said we need to have mandatory vaccines, whatever you know, cocktail he produces. And then you also you have to have some sort of nano tattoo, which is like a chipping mechanism.
Yeah, you can see almost a scarlet letter type of thing where, again, the trusting people, the people that trust this narrative that are asleep – You're gonna completely repudiate. They're gonna shun you. You can't play with that kid. His family, you know, they're not vaccinated.
Yes.
Even if you can, if you're still allowed to do that, if nothing else, you'll be socially ostracized. But the Gates, people need to realize this guy's a walking cartoon character. He actually, if you remember the old Simpsons, they had Mr. Burns. Mr. Burns tried to block out the sun.
Yes,
bad plan. Bill Gates wants to do that. He's had that plan. I mean,
What's with these billionaires?
Whoever thought that that you could come up with a character that is like that in real life? But Bill Gates is that. He's that part Mr. Burns, part Frankenstein. We do live in interesting. I mean, if this was a science fiction movie, like a lot of movies we've watched have had elements of this in it, it'd be really interesting. But it's not any fun, you know, being a part of it because you of course there's so many things up in the air and you wonder. I mean, we have children. You wonder about what their future is going to be. I was already worried about their future before this, and now, you know.
Well, we have to look at it as an opportunity because as frustrated, I could sense that you've had a lifetime of frustration trying to tell people what's really going on in the world.
Yeah.
But when life is relatively good and comfortable, there's no way you get through to them.
Right.
Now there's a chance. So what we could be seeing here is what Hegel called the cunning of reason. Or God's will acting through history is God has the ability to take evil plans of men and turn it into good. That's what Easter is all about.
Yeah.
Is, you know, the Sanhedrin and the Romans conspired to murder Jesus Christ and God turned it around and turned it into the redemption of mankind. That's the message of Christianity. So what we have here is an opportunity. We should use it as a time not to be demoralized or if we dispirited or God forbid despair, which is a sin, it's a time to be energized by it and to get mad about it. And then, you know, this is an opportunity to point something obvious out to people. I've done this myself at work and the opportunity arose and I just, you know, more or less carried on like a 15-20 minute lecture at work about what's really going on. And this guy says, I've been hearing about this and said, do you know this guy? And he opened his phone and said, someone sent me this. It was a picture of David Icke. So David Icke has gotten a lot more, because David Icke has gotten a lot less flaky in recent years. And his analysis is spot on.
Yeah.
Some of his predictions have come true about pedophilia, elite pedophilia. And he does a good, I think he describes the situation well. Is now the, this cult has come in from the outside. It's exposed itself and the door behind him has clicked. Now it's there before us. When they're telling you that you have to get mandatory vaccines, you need immunity passports, and you can't go to work, you can't go outside, they've exposed themselves. So now's the opportunity to go to the pub and go, see, now what do you have to say? What are you going to do now? And some of these protests, it's a chance. I know right now they're trying to turn it into a partisan thing. I suspect that it's going to transcend that, and we're seeing the states trying to open up. The only problem is you have these recalcitrant governors and mayors, they're just nuts. You have that crazy Gretchen Whitmer up in Michigan, crazy eyes, you know, and, you know.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You said it's so, you know, who would have thought that opening, letting the American people go to work each day would be a partisan issue going into 2020 elections? That's how crazy.
Controversial. Yeah.
It's controversial. I want to go to work.
It's amazing.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the problem, they've created, they've done so much damage to these businesses. If they don't, even if they can't open up, they're going to find out 6 months later they can't maintain themselves because of what's happened. Because people are going to be afraid to go out. I mean, I can't believe how people don't want to travel. You know, people don't want to do these things. People won't want to go to stores and all that stuff. We have to break. What we have to do is create a wide acknowledgement that this whole thing was BS. And that undermines the legitimacy of the entire system. Because the entire system, media, government, helped carry, even the hierarchy of the Catholic Church has been smeared by this. All the bishops are shut down.
Well, and I was... I was a fallen Catholic, like most of us are. But I really wanted to make a go to Mass on Easter Sunday, and I checked around, of course, and you know, Catholics are going to fall. My parish was open, but it was no more than 10 at a time, socially distanced, no service. You could come in and pray and get communion, and that's not the point. I want you to hold a service. I want you to act like it's normal. That's how you give. You give the middle finger to you say, no, we're not going to obey this. This is Easter Sunday. It's our holiday. You can't tell us we can't. But it didn't happen, and that's why I lost hope there for a second. Okay, it's never going to happen. It didn't happen then, but it is heartening to know that you've had tested anymore. And as Fox News reports them, which is they're praying them in the right light.
Yeah.
And the rest of the media is demonizing them, of course. But as long as they get reported, I thought maybe they'd just be ignored. But if they get reported and if the crowds grow bigger, I think that, which maybe they will. I think I can't believe the natives aren't getting restless. But, you know, maybe we underestimate how much people like, especially if they're getting unemployed, getting some kind of the ones that are still getting paid.
Yeah.
Are fine. You know, what do they care? You know, I mean, everybody dreams of a lot of people dream of working at home, and for the people I think that upset would be the retail type people who are at the bottom of the food chain and don't have a voice. And these are people that probably a lot of them don't vote. You know, they're just not really they're all corrupt and there's no point in it. And so they don't really get that. I guess maybe if there's a lot of them, if they're working retail, probably weren't living independently anyhow.
Yeah.
So they may be in their parents' basements. And you know, a lot of them may be just playing video games. This is cool. You know, I don't. I have a friend that messages me all the time about that. That people are unable to distinguish between reality and AI. That Matrix world. And I'm in the Matrix world all the time. I'm online constantly. Most of my best friend that I talk to all the time or communicate with are people I've never met. They're from all around the country. So really they're in that world anyhow. And young people that love those video games and so forth, that's the world they prefer. I mean, you know, when they were working, they couldn't get home and play video games.
Yeah.
And so now they can do it all. So I people want to this to change. If they're getting some kind of income, the people that maybe like restaurant owners and things like that, I don't know. So far, like I said, it's amazing how, I imagine more businesses decide to close, but we'll have to see once the dust settles and we supposedly go back what the carnage is. But I just can't imagine it'll be good. And I think they may have done to ever bounce back from it. I think that's when you'll need, like, you can see the proposals they're talking about.
Yes.
Stimulus checks, things like that. Because they're already recognizing, okay, we might take Andrew Yang's idea about universal basic income because they're not going to be anywhere near enough jobs for people. So I don't know what's going to, it's going to be America 3.0, I guess. But, you know, the saddest part of all this is I've been mouthing off for years about how bad America is. We're, you know, third world country turning into that. And how if I didn't have a family or if I was younger, I would be gone to somewhere like Costa Rica, something like that. Well, the saddest part is to know the whole world basically went along with this. So maybe there isn't that other man's grass is always greener. Maybe there isn't a place to go that's that better, because it looks to me like the entire world except for Sweden, not all the way, and maybe Brazil, even Russia. You know, I thought Russia would, I didn't think Putin wasn't playing along at first, I don't think, but they all went along with it to varying degrees. And that's sad to think there's, I mean, I don't know about Iceland. What's Iceland? Did they lock their bankers up? Did they go along with this too? I don't even know.
I don't think they did. I think they had like two cases, but then only 10 people live in Iceland.
Yeah.
So. Well, I said it was Ron Paul who said we need the calling on Trump to fire Dr. Fauci, and he said he should be fired. But if Trump doesn't do it, the people should fire him. I mean, they should stop paying attention to him. You know. And we have to do that to these governors, and these things have to stop taking them seriously.
Yeah, it's just massive. We need massive civil disobedience.
Yeah.
I mean, it worked for the civil rights movement. There's no reason why it wouldn't work, but it's all about a game of numbers. So when people talk about what can you do, well, I'm not going to do anything until I know the numbers are there, because I'm not willing to get tased or shot or arrested or something. Because one thing has been shown is, a bunch of people on the right will always say, well, when, you know, push comes to shove, the police will stand with the people. Well, absolutely not. There's no indication there, and they're showing it. There. I mean, when you're cops and you're going to a church service being conducted in cars, and you're giving them $500 tickets, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious what side the cops are going to be on, anything like this. So, and they're the enforcers out there. So turned, that would be great if you could get the. But I mean, look what they're doing, policing for profit. You don't have cars on the road. I mean, 90% of that is traffic tickets. So they can't. That's got to be way down.
Yes.
So okay. Hey guys, you know, you got to get those social distancing quotas this month. So you know they're being instructed nonstop. Anybody you see. You know, they had one case where they had the guy in the park with his daughter, and the cops went up to him, like, well, first of all, he lives in the house, you know, he lives with the little girl, so when he can't be close to her in the park. I mean, nonsense, but that's what you run into, and you get people.
Don't pay those tickets.
Yeah, and you have to have the police at that level, you have to have, but we already know that wasn't there. We know how corrupt they were. We've seen the videos.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew that the people that relied on the police, they said, no, I'm sorry, support law enforcement. What are you talking about? Look at those videos and those guys get off all the time. Their superiors say they acted appropriately. So, you know, they're going to, and we're seeing it now. There have been a few sheriffs and, I guess, renegades that said they're not going to do this or that. But for the most part, people have stood in line. But we need more and more because local officials doing that, that'll bring it down. No, I'm not going to enforce this. We're not going to do this. This is ridiculous. And we need business owners to say that, you know, I'm just going to reopen again. And the public can go and frequent them. That's what, because once you start having a few doing that, it'll just fall like dominoes. Because really, the government, I mean, what are they going to do? Go arrest a restaurant owner? I mean, because, there's nothing on the books about there's no law that covers that.
No, in fact, technically, like, a lot of these orders they call them advisories.
I mean, just look.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, all they have to do is say, well, you, first of all, you can't prove what I mean. Some of these counties where you've had a handful of deaths or something, this is ridiculous or something. This, unfortunately, a lot of people to stand up, and I understand not doing it myself. I understand why somebody wouldn't want to stick their neck out themselves, but if we can somehow, you know, like Bobby Kennedy or Robert Kennedy talked about those tiny ripples of hope. You know, just one at a time, you know, and eventually those ripples can add up to a tidal wave. And they can overcome, you know, oppression and injustice. So that's what we're hoping for. I'm always preaching to people, you know, send forth those tiny. So that's what I like to think I'm doing with every post I make or every article I write. I'm trying to send forth a tiny ripple of hope. And hopefully, you know, it's some people are getting it, and maybe it's influencing some. If there's enough of us out there, you know, we can do something.
Well, they've created an army of unemployed, have nothing better to do, so go out and protest.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't. You certainly should have the time to do that now. But again, I don't.
And it is telling you saw it happen in Middle America.
yeah, of course, yeah, exactly. And I think that's where you're going to see. I don't think you're going to see, you know. I mean, you'd think in L.A. County they'd be protesting with a 50% unemployment rate. But, I mean, who knows how many illegal aliens are there.
Yeah, yeah.
That. So, I mean, I don't even know what
that's all part of creating a sort of a, you know, atomized multicultural society, because then people can't coalesce and organize because they're all divided.
And that could be another good positive outcome of this. I don't know that it'll happen, but maybe a lot of the illegals will just pack up and go back to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it gets to the point where there is no work here. Isn't that why you came? To provide cheap labor? So maybe we'll get people washing their hands and some of the illegals will go back to Mexico and a few good things will happen. I don't know anything else that, but you're right. There is hope that if it gets so bad, maybe we can get enough people to demand something better to come out of it. I mean, we have to hope because, I mean, we can't allow something worse. We can't allow more state tyranny, but unfortunately we're allowing it right now. So unless we put a clamp on this and we have to say, no, you can't just decide, you know, you can regularly put us in lockdown like we're in prison. I mean, that's what they call it, lockdown.
Yeah, which is why there has to be real consequences. I mean, it has to be the people that did this have to suffer some penalty for this, and there has to be, they're not going to give us our rights back. They have to be taken back, and there has to be, what instruments we use for that or what plan we use for that, I don't know at this point, but I do at this point, just going up, showing up out front of the state house and just, you know, making the governor's meetings, unmanageable because of the noise is a first step.
You know? Yeah. And the more people you get, yes. If you can get the bigger crowds, I mean, I'm hoping I'm waiting to see like a really huge crowd. And if I know there's going to be a big crowd in Virginia, then it's not that far. I'll drive to Richmond and join it. But it has. I'm not going to go if there's 10, 15 people, with guns, and there's going to be marginalized. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And a couple of them are waving Confederate flags. I mean, you know, that would.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean that's ridiculous. I mean, but again, you can understand why there would be Confederate flags there.
Because, oh yes, definitely.
I mean, that actually makes sense because it's the spirit of, you know, we're not going to stand for this.
Spirit of rebellion. Yeah.
Exactly, the spirit of rebellion. The swastika, I don't really know what that has to do with anything. But
well, they just throw that in. They conflate the stars and bars with the swastika as if, you know, the standard that General Lee fought under is the same as the, the Wehrmacht, you know, or the, so the SS or something. Or
I'm pretty sure the swastika doesn't stand for, less state control. You know, it makes much sense. But that's the... That's the crazy world we live in. So I don't know what comes next, but it's hopefully next time we talk, it would be a little bit better.
Let's pray let's pray that the week ahead has more protests, more outrage, more protest, and go from there. So.
Absolutely, that's we can hope, and there's a chance. Let's go from the dumb and dumber. You say there's a chance. So hopefully there's a little bit more of a chance than that we can try to, because I do think the longer this drags on probably is, if I was advising them, I was sitting in on their meetings, I would say, look, you need to handle it with some kind of an exit strategy. Brag nonsense. Stop about virtual social distancing worked. You know, pat yourselves on the back. You know, forget how you were wrong about everything, and it's all non-necessary. But say how and Cuomo can, you know, talk about, well, now I have to be the nominee because Joe Biden's, you know, probably going to get COVID. That's what I'm saying. I don't predict anything, but let's say I wouldn't be shocked. Be shocked if I'm done with it. Okay.
So
because I think, you know, there's not that there's, you know, I don't get to be the nominee. Let's put it that way. I could be wrong, but I'm a feeling there's a few characters out there they probably like to can put two sentences together, which he doesn't seem to be able to do anymore. So.
Yeah, Joe Biden. So. Okay, Donald. So thanks for coming back on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure, Tim.
So again, it's Donald Jeffries. He's the proprietor of Keeping It Unreal, and also the host of I Protest. On the Truth Frequency Radio. That's a weekly program, correct?
Right, every Friday.
And, of course, the author of Bullyocracy.
Bullyocracy's the latest book, yeah. I would hope I can promote that more. You know, I had an unfortunate sense of time, and it came out right about this time. And so, I mean, I've got all kinds of stuff canceled, including a book launch and signing at Barnes & Noble. All that was canceled. So hopefully, once the dust is settled, I can go about trying to promote that book as much as I was hoping to.
Yeah, so we'll see. Okay, well, thanks a lot then.
Thank you, Tim. You take care.
Good night, then.